Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. It is January 9th, 2022, and this is the second episode and show of 2022. I'm Blaise Olson, your host here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And let's just say we're a week into the new year and there is a lot of news. And the kind of policy and politics craziness has already kicked off in full swing. You know, tomorrow I expect Kendall Qualls will announce for governor. I know I've been saying that for a while, but it's clear he's getting everything lined up. And hopefully he'll be on the show next week. This week, we are going to talk to Michelle Fischbach. She's going to join us the last segment and talk about her first year in Congress, what she thinks about election integrity, because after all, one of the big stories this past week was January 6th. We're also going to talk to Ken Martin about the DFL's challenges on internal politics, crime, and other issues. And then Mary LaHammer joins me for a little preview of what she sees in both the legislative session, legislative retirements, and suburban voters. But, you know, it was the one-year anniversary of January 6th. And let's just say that January 6th, to anybody who watches politics, follows elections, or like me, is emotionally unattached to winners and losers, but appreciates the process. And even when campaigns are dirty and ugly and mean, I got to tell you, I enjoy observing it and digesting it for you. But January 6th is different. And it was reminded of that this week because it was an offense to our country. When my son asked me about it last year on January 6th, I said, it's the worst day in our country since 9/11. And I felt the same way this week. Anybody who could look at what happened on the attempt to overturn the will of the people with violent people storming the Capitol and downplay it and then suggest that it wasn't that big of a deal. I got news for you. Democracy is a big deal. And in an election year, it's got to be taken seriously. And sure, there's funny campaign moments and there's sad campaign moments and there's cheap political shots. But if I'm going to draw the line one place, it's on questioning legitimate election results with violence and an attempt to attack, siege lawmakers doing their job. Let's hope 2022 is better. And let's hope that we continue to have peaceful transitions of power in this country. I'm Blaise Olson. This is Sunday Take. When we come back, Chairman Ken Martin of the DFL. Why are socialist Democrats upset with him for not letting them caucus? It's Sunday Take here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. First conversation this week is with Ken Martin. He's the chair of the DFL party has been through the roller coasters of many election cycles. We've known each other a long time. But I think as we get into this election year, it's time to kind of hear what Chair Martin thinks about this year, because obviously approval rating for Joe Biden has not gone in the right direction for Democrats. We're a year after January 6th. And frankly, you know, people have kind of tuned out of politics after 2020. And how do you get them to tune back in? Ken, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks so much, Blois, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. So, Chair Martin, you a couple weeks ago kind of had a little internal party battle that got public with some folks who wanted to be more prevalent in the DFL party as, quote, democratic socialists. Can you talk about kind of the current state of politics in the DFL and the, you know, I'll call them factions for lack of a better word, and some of the pressure points for traditional Democrats versus kind of these socialistic Democrats?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, this is just, it's not endemic just to the DFL party or Democratic Party nationwide. We've seen this play out in the Republican Party over the last decade or so as well. But it's a function, you know, again, of fewer and fewer people participating in organizations like political parties at their local level, state level, national level. What you tend to have is, more extreme voices in both parties showing up, participating, winning some of these delegate spots, running for and winning elections. And but, you know, I would say this, in my 11 years now as chair of the DFL, I've tried really hard to make sure that we are inclusive as a party, that we're bringing people in. I think you build a party and conversely win elections by through addition, not through subtraction. And while, you know, it's important for me to have people in the party, I also want to make sure that as people are joining, that they're not joining just to burn down the building, but that they share our goal, our values, and our number one goal, of course, is to win elections. And if they're not here to win elections and help us elect people who share our values, then they're here for the wrong reason. Yes, there was probably a public spat on this, our party, there are folks who probably subscribe to some socialist views, but by and large, that doesn't represent the mainstream of where DFLers are at.
One of the issues that's, you know, interesting to me as I've watched over the years is, you know, DFL, Democratic Farmer Labor. Labor has obviously been a cornerstone of the party. But even within labor, there's different dynamics now. And I don't, it probably doesn't impact the party as much, but can you talk about the shifting role of labor? Because historically, it's times like these when the country's has a workforce shortage, where labor has more leverage, where we have increased wages, that labor kind of reemerges. And I see that, but even within the labor movement, there's different views on, you know, public policy and politics and candidates. Any sense there? And it's not necessarily about the party, but about people who have identified historically with Democrats.
Yeah, of course. You know, our party has historically been on the side of working people and organized labor. It's in our name here in Minnesota, and not by accident. It's something we're very proud of, as our relationship with organized labor, labor leaders and workers throughout the state. And not unlike many organizations, you are seeing a resurgence of activism and interest in joining unions and organizing throughout the state and country. And as a result, you know, there's just strains, because as new people come into any organization, they're bringing new energy, new ideas, new approaches to some of these complex issues that are facing labor or facing the Democratic Party or facing our state. And so, again, I don't think we can read too much into it, only to say that there has been a real resurgence in interest amongst workers around this state in joining unions. And as a result, you've seen their membership roles actually increasing quite significantly over the last several years. You know, we are proud of our relationship with working people and labor, and that's going to continue as we move into this year. You know, lots of different ideas out there on how to approach some of these complex public policy issues. And that's the beauty of the DFL. You know, as Will Rogers once said, he doesn't belong to an organized political party. He's a Democrat. And that's true. I mean, we have lots of different ideas and thoughts about how to approach these issues in our party. Unlike the Republicans, we do not expect people to sort of march lockstep ideologically. We welcome dissent and debate. And that's true in the labor movement as well.
It's interesting you bring up those kind of complex issues, because I wasn't even necessarily thinking about it, but they tie back to, you know, some of these, you know, trades, building trades, mining trades, in the idea that we would expand mining up north. And then obviously the policy discussions in the party. Is there a way to kind of, on the jobs issue, which has been an Iron Range issue for as long as you and I have been around this state, is there a way to bridge the gap between the jobs of the future on the Iron Range being part of mining within the party? Because obviously I think Republicans see that as one of the fissures that they want to try to capitalize on.
Yeah. And let's be really clear. The DFL has always been on the side of making sure that we create jobs, and in particular in northern Minnesota, we support mining. You know, obviously there's a lot of conversation around copper nickel mining and what that means for the region and also for the job creation. And there is a divide within our party on that, for sure. There's no doubt that you have strong voices in our party who believe that copper nickel mining would, you know, lead to, you know, environmental pollution. You also have other people who recognize that, you know, we have the largest deposits of copper and nickel in the world. And, you know, given all the new batteries and cell phones and all these other gadgets that people are using these days that require these precious metals, it's a real opportunity. And, you know, there's voices on all sides of that issue within our party. And my job is to make sure, again, that we keep people, not to be crass here, but keep people on the inside of the tent pissing out than the outside of the tent pissing in. So that means we make sure that, you know, we don't allow some of the divisions in our party to force us inward, but to recognize those differences and then find the common ground that unites all of us on all sides of these issues.
My guest is Ken Martin. He's the chair of the DFL. He has been for 11 years. We're talking about kind of the dynamics within the DFL between labor and more left-leaning socialist groups. Let's look ahead to this year. You're also the chair of the state party chairs within the Democratic Party. And you gave a speech end of last year just saying, you know, chin's up. It might be a tough year. Midterms are always tough, but let's not bury our heads and think that it's always a losing year. What's the reaction to that? How do you bring that into Minnesota, which obviously there's a lot at stake here for Democrats this year between the House and the governor's office and every constitutional office. What do you think Democrats can win on when there's a few issues that they could lose on this year?
Well, there always are every single election. It's nothing's guaranteed. And as you know, Blois, I run like I'm 20 points behind, even if we're 20 points ahead. We haven't lost a statewide election here in Minnesota. I would argue the DFL party is a dominant political party in this state, both organizationally, financially. We are much stronger than the Republicans, but that's not a guarantee going into any election that we're going to win up and down the ballot. There are certainly challenges that you alluded to right on the horizon for us, being a midterm election. But, you know, I've always said if you do good things for people, they'll reward you for that. And the reality is this last year, we've seen a tremendous amount of work happening both in St. Paul and in Washington that should give people reasons for optimism. You know, look, the ARP, between the ARP that passed earlier last year, as well as the Biden bipartisan infrastructure bill, these are two of the most remarkable pieces of legislation to pass in decades out of Washington, and all happened within a year. And as these the benefits of these two bills start to come online more in communities throughout Minnesota and start impacting people's lives in a real way, that should accrue to not only the president's benefit, but to other Democrats on the ballot. And there's a significant amount of accomplishment here in the last year. I mean, think about the economy, 6 million new jobs, record low unemployment claims, unemployment that's now at 3.9%, GDP growth in this country at 5.5%, which has outpaced both China and most European countries. The S&P 500, which is up over 30% in the last year, and, you know, more new business filings and IPOs ever recorded in history for a 1 year period. And so, you know, the idea that the economy is not working for people just is not true. Yeah, there's issues right now, but I think as we get out of some of this supply chain issues and labor shortage issues, which are the real root cause of inflation, you're going to see consumer confidence return. And frankly, you're going to see people's anxiety start to lessen. You know, of course, COVID will be a big issue as we go into this year. And as I think we more locally, as we look to this legislative session, you know, there's sort of three overriding issues I think that the session has to address. One is what to do with the $7.7 billion surplus. The second, of course, is, you know, getting a bonding bill passed so that we can actually invest in jobs and help communities throughout the state. And the third thing is COVID, you know, and the Republicans now will have to figure out some ideas and be part of the solutions now that the governor doesn't have emergency powers. So the legislature is going to have to actually figure out how we get out of this surge here and actually continue to position the state to emerge from the pandemic the right way. So there's a lot of local issues, I think, that are going to really dominate the discussion over the next, you know, 4 to 5 months here as we go into this session. And of course, it's going to come on the heels of redistricting, where there's going to be a lot of political shakeup with the maps.
Well, one of those other issues is public safety. You've been clear since day one that, quote, defunding the police was not a good idea, that you were a Democrat who came out very early and said, we support law enforcement. Some elected members in your party have not been as clear. They have not been as concise. Meanwhile, we're doing this in a crime wave that is national, but it's higher in Minnesota. And frankly, the way I explain it to people is, you know, this is not unlike what Chicago and Detroit and St. Louis and even Denver, LA, San Francisco, New York, Philly have all dealt with before. And we always wanted to be a big city. Well, this is one of the parts of being a big city, but we're just not used to it. It's scary. It's fear driven. And frankly, some of the stories you hear are real and bothersome about violent felons not serving time, et cetera. Where does that play into? How do you rebut that when, you know, Democrats have been in control, some of these prosecutors are DFLers, and it's an emotional feeling issue for voters and for citizens?
Yeah, first, I would say, look, this is not a partisan issue. And the reality is that crime has increased throughout the state, and not just in the urban core, but in the suburbs and even in greater Minnesota. And so this is an issue that both Republicans and Democrats need to get their hands around for sure. And, you know, the recent carjacking in St. Paul, the woman that that happened to is a personal friend of mine. And I will tell you, it's a scary, scary time for sure. And there's no doubt about it. And I think DFLers, Republicans need to really acknowledge that we have to, we can focus on some of the police reform and criminal justice reform issues, but it can't be at the expense of making sure that we're doing our part to address some of the real root causes that are contributing to the increase in crime. And we need to, that means we need to not only support law enforcement, we need to put more resources into municipalities throughout the state who are struggling right now to meet their policing shortages, which are immense. I mean, you know, even in a community like Eagan, where I live, you know, you have low morale amongst police. You have shortages of police officers, which puts an immense pressure on those on the police force. And that's what's happening in communities throughout the state. So I think the approach for DFLers, I think, has to be, you know, both we can focus on reform and accountability measures while at the same time doing more on the public safety side of things to address crime. That would be, again, more foot patrols, more investment in communities, helping them with their labor shortages on policing, investments in community-based crime prevention efforts, and then, you know, figuring out ways to actually get guns off the street, which is, you know, one of the real things that's contributing to the increase in violent crime here. And then I would also say we really need to look at sentencing guidelines and with our prosecutors and judges, you know, really find a way to decrease the revolving door that's putting some of these criminals back on the streets. So, you know, we can be both, and we have been both in the past, both tough on crime, but also acknowledge that we need reform and accountability as well. And so I think you'll see that amongst DFLers as we come into this legislative session.
We've been talking to Ken Martin here on Sunday Take. He's the chair of the DFL party. I know we'll talk throughout the year. Ken, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Blaise.
When we come back, we're going to talk to about kind of the tone as we go into the legislative session. And we're less than a month away from caucuses, where Republicans will have competitive gubernatorial race. They'll get to caucuses, and DFLers will convene their caucuses. More on that coming up on News Talk 830 WCCO.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm Blaise Olson. Joining me now, Mary LaHammer, reporter for TPT. She's followed the Capitol for a long time. And it's this time of year in a governor's race that Mary and I often trade notes on. What do you see? Where are we going? So I thought it'd be good to have her here. Mary, just talked to Chair Ken Martin about crime as a political issue. Obviously, that's on the radar. What else do you think is kind of on the radar as the big issues for a big election year?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the Democratic chair talking about the issue of crime and public safety, because it is the issue that Republicans are the most excited about, really, because they feel like they have traction. They feel like Democrats are vulnerable, particularly in the suburbs. And that is where races have been decided. You know, rural Minnesota is pretty set, pretty Republican. urban Minnesota, very Democratic, but the race is the suburbs and the exurbs, and folks are seeing, you know, carjackings, crimes really increasing, and they're seeing concern amongst constituents and maybe some independent, maybe some swing voters. And so Republicans definitely see the issue of public safety as an opportunity for them. And Democrats, I think, do have to deal with it.
Is there anything they can do during a legislative session where they have a $7.7 billion surplus and they want to do a bonding bill and COVID politics are going to play? Or does this just go straight to November?
There's definitely lawmakers talking about doing something. You know, after there was a carjacking in Edina, the Edina state senator, who is now the leader of the party in the state Senate, Melissa Lopez Franzen, has a bill and is working with her state representative. So that is one suburb right there that hasn't, you know, really been competitive in a while. But there's two lawmakers hearing from their constituents wanting that addressed.
We are less than a month away from caucuses, which used to feel like a bigger deal, but they are a big deal for candidates, especially when there's an open seat like the Republican governor's race. We're waiting for any day Kendall Qualls to jump in this race. But what's your assessment of the Republican gubernatorial candidates as we kind of get ready for caucuses, which usually in the Republican Party, they produce, endorse, and get their candidate through a primary?
Yeah, that's been the open question. I can't tell you how many folks I've had ask me, is this the year that the endorsement does not stick for Republicans? Because unlike Democrats who have endorsed candidate after candidate for governor and then go to a primary and lose, Democrats' endorsements do not stick in the same way Republicans have had their endorsements matter and they stick. I mean, let's remember last cycle. Former governor, former presidential candidate Tim Pawlenty lost in a primary to the endorsed candidate who had already lost, Jeff Johnson, for governor. So I mean, that is not that far away for us to remember how powerful the endorsement was. But folks are really asking, is this the time? And maybe because a candidate could get in late, like you say, Kendall Qualls, there's still excitement, I think, for something different. You know, I think many activists are fine with a Gazelka, a Benson, a Jensen, maybe a newer face, but really see Kendall Qualls as something different, something suburban. Definitely brings, you know, a different business experience as an executive with Medtronic. I think there is some interest and excitement maybe with a late entry like him.
And we can't ignore the fact that he's an African-American, and for Republicans to nominate or, you know, get behind an African-American would change Minnesota political dynamics that we, you know, really haven't seen in a statewide race.
No, and if I can jump in, we haven't seen much diversity, period, in the race. Right. We haven't had a woman, a person of color at the top of a ticket. Now, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan made history and a lieutenant governor, but women have been endorsed. Margaret Anderson Kelleher was endorsed. Erin Murphy was endorsed and didn't survive the primary.
The Republicans continue to not just talk about COVID and conspiracies and masks, which came up again from the mayors this week, but also election integrity. And what I'm trying to wrap my head around is, here in Minnesota, forget the rest of the country for a minute. Any politician on the ballot in Minnesota with high turnout, paper ballots, a track record of very, very well-run elections, that seems like the issue that Republicans keep talking about, but may also hurt them amongst independents. It's not an issue that, you know, independents or normal people when I'm at a hockey rink or a grocery store ever bring up to me. Do you think that might be their Achilles heel, that they're still obsessed with this 2020 Trump stuff?
It could be, you know, Blois, we run in the same circles. We're at, you know, hockey games, soccer games, a lot of suburban parents. And what I hear is, you know, kind of mainstream suburban swing voters being really proud of our voter status and wearing that as kind of a badge of honor that we lead the nation in voter turnout, that we seem to have well-run, clean, fair, bipartisan elections. That does seem to be kind of a mainstream sentiment. And, you know, it's not that terribly long ago that Minnesota voters statewide did reject voter ID. And that was in the same vein, and Senate Republicans were pushing that again, and it didn't happen. It's not on the ballot. Obviously, I can't get past the House. The governor wouldn't have to sign it if it's a ballot measure. But I think it is a tough issue for independents and swing voters to have traction in our state.
Any sleeper issues that you see in the legislature that are going to take a lot of time or energy that, you know, might have a chance to get passed?
I don't know if I would call it an issue, but it's something I'm watching, and that is retirements. We are seeing a whole bunch of them. We saw a longtime Republican, Rod Hamilton, just announced he was the latest. There's been a lot of Democrats announcing their retirements. He's the first big Republican. We will see more, and we'll see an avalanche probably on February 15th when the courts will produce those new legislative boundaries and all kinds of lawmakers will be matched up. And do they want to run against their friend? Do they want to have to move? We will see dozens, 40, 50, who knows, retirements. And that will really change. At least a fourth of the legislature is likely to turn over because of redistricting.
A great reminder that we have a fun year ahead. Mary, we'll catch up next month as well.
Thanks,
Blake Wilson. This is Sunday Take. When we come back, Representative Michelle Fischbach, her first interview about her first year in Congress here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. Our final cup of coffee this Sunday is with Representative Michelle Fischbach. She's just completing her first year in Congress, and I thought it'd be a good time to catch up. And we've heard a lot about what's going on in Washington, but maybe not necessarily what's happening from the 7th District perspective. Congresswoman, thanks for joining me today.
Well, I'm happy to be here. It's always good to visit with you and get an update.
So 1 year in, obviously you had a grueling campaign to win your seat. You won. You went to Washington. What are your big top two or three takeaways after a year as a member of Congress?
Well, you know, I will say it's different than the state Senate, you know, and just plain and simple, just the procedures and the rules a little bit different. So been learning those, but been very happy to have been appointed to the Ag Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and the Rules Committee. So it's a steep learning curve, but we are having a great time, you know, learning how to best represent the people in the 7th District.
You bring up the Ag Committee. Obviously, farmers have had some major challenges. Ag has traditionally been one of those topics that people can work across party lines on. Are there bipartisan initiatives? Are there things that farmers in Minnesota should know that you specifically have started to really try to move the ball on? Because we know there's a farm bill right around the corner, and obviously farmers and people in ag are very aware of that and starting to kind of, I think, gear up for that.
Well, and, you know, there were a few things that we bipartisanly passed. You know, we took a look at broadband across rural Minnesota and across rural areas of the country is so critical. You know, one in five farms in my district don't have access to that broadband. So it is, and it's not only, you know, it's agriculture and they need the access, and it's education, it's healthcare. So it really does affect the rural way of life. And that is something that we, the Republicans on the Ag Committee, came together, put together a bill. And then the framework of it was put into another bill. And that passed unanimously out of the Ag Committee. So we worked together on that. And then, you know, you look at the WIP Plus and some of the drought relief, that kind of thing, you know, those passed unanimously out of the committee. So we have been working on that. I was hoping that we would start a lot more, you know, moving towards the Farm Bill and do a lot of those hearings, hearing from the stakeholders, hearing from, you know, the people that it really affects and understanding what works, what doesn't work. We haven't started those. I look forward to starting them soon, hopefully. The majority hasn't been focusing on that, but we are pushing them to start that, and hopefully we will get going on that. But I think in general, you know, the Ag Committee does work bipartisanly. Unfortunately, I think sometimes leadership does put the thumb down and makes that more difficult.
You know, it's interesting you say things pass unanimously. We just don't hear those stories out of D.C. very often. But it is obviously a polarizing environment. You were obviously aware of partisan politics in the Minnesota Senate and have been, you know, a partisan for a long time. For listeners, what are the kind of different, how different is the partisanship in DC than the partisanship maybe in the Minnesota legislature? Because it gets blown up on national media. You know, we talk about, you know, whether it's Build Back Better or the infrastructure bill, is this back and forth, back and forth. We see statements from members of Congress, but I don't think people get a feel for the working nature of members of Congress and partisanship.
Well, and I think you hit it on the head, Blaise, is that, you know, when you talk about, we don't hear about that. You don't hear about, you know, I venture to say the good things that happen in D.C. and when we are working bipartisanly. I do have, though, the partisan atmosphere or attitude or whatever you want to call it in D.C. is, you know, is really, really pushed by the majority leadership and, you know, Nancy Pelosi and all of the leadership there really push that and will push things through the, you know, like the Build Back Better, like the infrastructure bill, and they don't necessarily ever have Republican input on it. And so that I think is a little bit different in Congress, in the sense that things don't go necessarily through committee all the time and have that kind of input. You know, some things will go through committee and they will reject every single Republican amendment on partisan lines. And that generally comes straight from the leadership, from Nancy Pelosi herself, I think, that, you know, saying don't accept these, and they push things through. Where I think on the state level, there was we had committee hearings, things were done publicly.
Makes sense. My guest is Michelle Fischbach. She's a member of Congress from Minnesota's 7th District. She's just finishing her first year. You talk about leadership, you talk about partisanship. Obviously, you know, one of the things that changed maybe the tone and tenor of the last year was January 6th, which we just had the 1 year anniversary of. What about your own leadership in trying to, you know, move A, beyond January 6th, or B, you know, if trends go the way of Republicans this year, you guys maybe in the majority, is there a way to change the, I hate the word culture, but is there a way to change the dynamic in Congress, considering just how polarized, you and I have known each other a long time. And let's just say, I don't think the world's gotten less polarized in the 15 or 20 years we've known each other. Is there a way to kind of tone down the rhetoric on either side?
You know, toning down the rhetoric, obviously, if people, you know, the rhetoric is the rhetoric. And I think, you know, that always tends to happen. But I think what really, I think to really change the culture, and particularly I'm talking about DC, is bringing those bills through committee and having legitimate discussion, and not just because it's a Republican or because it's a Democrat, you know, amendment, you vote no. But that is what has happened. And I think we need to go get back to having those legitimate discussions about policy. And I will say, particularly in ag is, you know, it is bipartisan, because we have, you know, you've got folks from around the country, both Republicans and Democrat, that represent those ag areas and really want the best for farmers and to promote the agriculture industry. So I think that may be a great place to start and really, really have those discussions and come up with policies that are good for the country, not just, you know, not just a partisan issue.
You were in leadership in the Minnesota Senate. You've been around leadership. Leadership in Washington, do they operate differently? As a, you know, freshman member, do you feel like you have access? Because there, you know, there's been even, you know, tension within your own caucus, which, let's be clear, there's always tension within all caucuses of legislative bodies. But is access to leadership, is understanding leadership, does leadership listen to freshmen? Because, you know, when I worked in Washington 20 plus years ago, leadership didn't necessarily listen to freshmen then either. And, you know, that's kind of the sense people have told me now too.
Well, I find a completely different, you know, atmosphere. I think they listen to freshmen, you know, particularly I was like, you know, the Republican leadership had a large group of strong Republican women come in and they are listened to. So, you know, I think maybe that has, you know, a little bit to do with the quality of the candidate that won and is part of Congress now. And I think that leadership, and I will speak for, you know, Republican leadership and Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise understand the importance of those freshmen and the strength of the group that they brought together to run and win.
One of the issues, obviously, that keeps getting talked about, we're beyond it, but it's remained a theme, of election integrity. You're familiar with Minnesota, staying focused on Minnesota. Do you feel as though Minnesota's elections are clean, fair, and legitimate? Because there is, you know, this buzz that, you know, Minnesota needs more protections, or Minnesota's elections are not as secure as they once were. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? There's always improvements that can be made. And I think that's where, you know, where my comment about, you know, coming together and actually discussing it. But I always think that there is improvement to be made. And I know that that particularly in the state Senate, obviously I was there, so have my connections there. I know they are working on it and they are trying to move things forward. I'm very bothered by the HR1. On the federal level that, you know, removes any state ability to have voter ID or, you know, and really federalizes elections, where that concerns me, because elections clearly in the Constitution should be handled by the state, by the states.
No, I've talked to other members from Representative Stauber to others, and they kind of take that line, but, you know, there's the narrative that somehow Minnesota, obviously record turnout, we've never had that undertone or that undermining of election integrity in Minnesota. And it seems to be emerging as a theme here. And just as somebody who's been around it, I wondered if you think that's healthy, if you think, you know, your election was fair, if you're worried about this upcoming election. Because just even yesterday, party chair David Hand talked about, you know, that it's concerning to him, and nobody's really ever questioned Minnesota elections the way it's started to kind of emerge in the last few months.
Well, and I will leave that to the state, but I do think, like I said, I think there's always improvements that can be made, and I would like to make sure that if mail-in ballots are going to continue, that they're done securely. So I think that best be handled on the state level, and that we should not be involved at the federal level
Representative Michelle Fischbach, member of Congress, finishing her first year. You're obviously running for re-election. Any other thoughts on what the hot issues that you're still hearing from the district are that they're really concerned Congress hasn't dealt with that impact either their pocketbook or their family right now?
You know, and as a matter of fact, last night had a long discussion with a group. You know, they're talking about inflation and their concerns about that, because, you know, food's costing more, everything's costing more. They're worried about the workforce issues. You know, I mean, I in my district, you can probably go anywhere and see help wanted signs. And so that is a big concern for folks right now, and making sure, because that's part of, you know, recovering the economy, is making sure that we have the folks to build those businesses, to do the work. And so those are probably the biggest two that I hear about right now, is the workforce and inflation.
I hear you on the workforce. I noted last night as I drove through rural Minnesota and stopped for gas, that the sign on the door of the convenience store was $15 an hour starting wage. And I thought to myself, boy, funny how we've had all these big debates over wages and the cost in greater Minnesota versus the metro area. And here we are, you know, with the market driving that for labor right now. And as some economist said this week on CNBC, you don't dial back wages. Like, you don't start, once wages go up, it's really hard to dial them back. And so I know that workforce is a major statewide issue. And so no surprise there. Representative Fischbach, thanks for joining us on Sunday Take. Have a great month. Stay warm and help those DC folks deal with snow, because I know they don't deal with it very well.
I love that because my stamp was in on Monday and Tuesday when the snowpocalypse happened in DC. So, but thank you so much. I really appreciate it and always love to talk to you.
Sounds good. I'm Blaise Olson. This has been Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. If it's 9 o'clock on Sunday, we're talking Minnesota politics. Up next, The Huddle with Pete Najarian and Mike Max. Stay tuned.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.